With K-State Research and Extension's Wildcat District, this is Jesse Gilmore bringing you this week's edition of the Hort Report. Last week, we discussed how nutrients react with the soil, but how do they function within plants? The three macronutrients that a plant draws from its environment are carbon, hydrogen, and oxygen. Carbon serves as the backbone of proteins, starches, and cellulose, as well as carbohydrates that store energy. The movement of hydrogen ions in the plant allows the chlorophyll to photosynthesize. Oxygen is required for respiration to convert glucose into ATP, the primary energy molecule of plants. While all three of these macronutrients are vital to the life of a plant, you don't need to be concerned about the plant having enough of these three nutrients because they move into the plant via carbon dioxide and water. The primary macronutrients you will need to fertilize for include nitrogen, phosphorus, and potassium. Nitrogen makes up around half of the protoplasm, or the liquid inside each plant cell. It is also a primary ingredient in making amino acids, which then become proteins. Rapid growth of a plant is limited mostly by the amount of nitrogen in the soil. Phosphorus is used in the formation of new DNA, ATP, and cell membranes. Because phosphorus is concentrated at the actively growing points of a plant, this nutrient is also responsible for fruit and seed formation. Potassium is responsible for climate adaptation because it is the primary nutrient responsible for opening and closing the stomata, the pores on the undersides of leaves. Research has also shown that potassium is responsible for cold tolerance and sweeter fruits, so if you grow tomatoes, potassium-rich soils will result in sweeter, better-tasting tomatoes. Sulfur, calcium, and magnesium are the three macronutrients that plants need less of, but still a lot of. Chloroplasts are the cell organelle that require sulfur for growth and function, making sulfur vital to a plant's ability to photosynthesize. In addition, legumes also require sulfur to fix nitrogen, and sulfur is responsible for the conversion of nitrate into amino acids into proteins. Calcium is primarily involved in root development, and is a common ingredient in the formation of cell walls. Most of our soil should not be calcium deficient because our soil parent material is limestone, which breaks down to calcium and carbonate during weathering. Magnesium, the last of the macronutrients, is a chlorophyll constituent and also vital to the photosynthesis process. Micronutrients are needed in smaller quantities and most are involved in photosynthesis in some way, but a few have other interesting functions. For example, nickel is responsible for the activation of an enzyme called urease, which converts urea into nitrate for plant use. Zinc is used in the formation and interpretation of DNA. Just like sulfur, manganese is also required to build chloroplasts. Boron makes it easier for sugars to pass through cell membranes, allowing the plant to save energy on sugar transport. And iron is used in the process of chlorophyll formation. Remember that most, if not all, of these micronutrients are already present in the soil in high enough amounts, so if you are seeing micronutrient deficiencies, physical soil characteristics and the soil pH are the more likely culprits. For more information on today's topic, contact your local Extension office. I can be reached at 620-724-8233 or by email at jr637@ksu.edu. Once again, this has been Jesse Gilmore bringing you this week's Hort Report.